Morning. There we go. It's great to see all of you this morning. I'm excited about this series we're in called This Is Us. Say it with me. This is yeah. It's about us, about elevation, about our vision, our values, and what makes us a little bit unique, right? And so we'll be in the book of Acts today. It's kind of where I've been hanging out for the last several weeks. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Anybody with me? I would encourage you, 28 chapters, chapter a day. You could read it in 4 weeks, and so you can read it through the course of this series. But it's a picture, earliest picture we have of the church, and the church, how it's functioning, and how the interaction that's going on, and it's just a beautiful picture of all that's happened. And when you, we're going to read in chapter 6 this morning, but when you look at the Acts of the Apostles and you kind of pick up those first few chapters, I mean, it comes on the scene with this huge splash, and it's just incredible when you read Acts chapter 2, and then you kind of get in 3 and 4, and you're like, if we didn't know the story already, if we didn't know we were here in 2018, we would wonder, are we going to make it or not when you read Acts 3 and 4, because it seems like things aren't going so well. In fact, can you imagine if you took a new organization in our world today and you put the leaders of it in jail and told them not to practice or do that anymore, what would happen? But in the book of Acts, they continue just to move forward, and it's growing, and this is the terminology that the Lord is adding to the church daily, so new people are experiencing Jesus, and it's incredible. And then you come to Acts chapter 6, and it's like a defining moment. There's a group of people that are following Jesus. They're serving and making sure that needs are covered, and they're just not able to get to everybody. There's even a complaint that they're not able to serve the widows like that need to be served. And so they make a decision, and they decide, we're going to get seven people, and they kind of give a... we have a thing here called honor code. They kind of go through the steps of what we're looking for. This is the qualifications, that they're wisdom, full of wisdom, have a good character, good reputation, that they're full of Holy Spirit, that they're just men that are solid. And so they find seven men, they bring them, they lay hands on them. And some people think that was the first place, and I would agree, that where a deacon ministry started. And so they go. And they're serving, and it says this in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. It says, then the word of God spread. Or some of your Bibles may say the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so here's what it tells us is this, that the word of God continues to spread. And I'm talking about one of our values this morning. One of our values at Elevation Church is this, that we value non-negotiable, not going to trade it, not going to compromise it. We value the kingdom of God expanding, right? That's what you see here. The word of God spreads, the number of disciples multiply in the city, and these priests, or maybe we would say this, people who have some kind of form of godliness, they have a religious experience, but they don't know Jesus. They start being obedient to the faith, and it's incredible what happens. In fact, there'll be 14 more, 21 more chapters that you can read about how God just continues to expand his kingdom even today. You know, in America, sometimes you hear about all the negative statistics on Christianity, but around the world, people are coming to Jesus at a level that it's never happened before. That people are in Asia and Africa and South America and in our world are coming to Jesus at a greater pace and rate than any time previously in history. And we believe, we desire, we value that the kingdom should continue to expand. And in saying that, we just believe this, that somebody needs to own that, right? So let me talk about kingdom, because it can kind of sound a little mysterious and can be some kind of abstract term. The kingdom of God, here's the way I would present it, is this, that the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. right? In Matthew 12, 28, Jesus said this, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." It's almost a strange statement when we read that. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you can know this, the kingdom of God has come upon you. In other words, if I display authority over the spiritual realm, guess what? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is God's rule. It's God's way of doing it. It's the king's domain. It's his way of doing things. Matthew 6:33, we're told this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us," right? That there's a priority put on the kingdom. And then in Matthew, Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "Listen, I'm gonna build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it." It's authority. In fact, check this out. The church is the visible, tangible expression of the invisible, intangible kingdom of God on this earth. So when you see the church, because we can talk about kingdom and it sounds, okay, what is the kingdom? And we'll read one today, but there's plenty of pictures Jesus gives of his kingdom. But we are the hands and feet, right? If we were to view Jesus as the head, which he is of the church, in your head you have sight, like five senses, right? Four of them are here, sight, smell, taste, hearing. There's only one the body does, and that's touch, right? He's the head. He sees the needs. He hears the prayers. He understands where people are at, and he uses us to touch them. We're the visible, tangible expression of his kingdom on this planet. And it's pretty cool. Somebody shout, "It's pretty cool." That we get to be engaged in this. Don't ever take lightly of what we've been invited into. And so here's what I want you to know is this, that the kingdom of God can grow, should grow, and does grow, right? If it does expand. It's not just a few of us getting in a room, holding hands, singing kumbaya, right? Those moments are cool sometimes. I don't want to hold your hand too long, but you know what I mean, right? So let's go to Mark 4, verse 30. It says, "Then Jesus said, then shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." Here's the kingdom of God. It's like a small seed. It started out small, but it continues to grow. Jesus ushered in his kingdom on this planet. And when we come to Christ, it's the invitation to enter into his kingdom and be a part of kingdom life. And so we don't have to live life at some less than or lower than or run through life always hoping we could be or someday I'll get it right. But we can live in the kingdom now. Isn't that cool? Somebody the other day was talking about how, you know, when I get to heaven, it's going to, no, right now, eternity doesn't start when I leave this earth. Eternity starts when you say yes to Jesus and you're part of his kingdom. Yeah, we're going to spend eternity together. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And so at Elevation, how do we expand? How do we expand the kingdom? I'm going to give you some insight into the day. One of the ways that that we do that is through ministry partners that we have all over the world. And we're able to engage with people who serve, who give in places that many of us will never visit, or places that we wouldn't even maybe be comfortable going, that we get to participate in seeing the kingdom expand around the world. And we're fortunate and blessed that one of those couples is part of our church here, Robert and Nancy Verbeek. And I'm going to ask them to come, and they're going to share just a little bit about what they do. Can you make them welcome this morning? All right. Robert and Nancy have been now 4 years. Well, you went to Switzerland before that, but 4 years now interacting with Powerhouse International Church in Zurich, Switzerland. And they do a course called the Freedom Course. The Freedom Course helps people to do just that, right? Get free. And how many of people need to get free? We believe here that you need to know God, but you also need to find freedom. And so they help people find freedom in Zurich, Switzerland, and it's been amazing when I hear stories of life change and how God's working. And so I wanted them to come up because they're going to be leaving on the 22nd to head back for 3 months in Switzerland, and we'll miss them while they're gone. But we do this thing here. We miss you, but we bless you. So you can go do this, and I'm so proud of them. Mm-hmm. Thankful for what they do. 2007 or 8, I can't remember exactly, we sat down, and one of the things that we talked about was this right here. And then to see that vision become a reality is just a blessing. And so, Nancy, maybe tell us, first of all, how'd you get here? Like, you know, when I think about how did this start, maybe so people can get familiar with how that you got to this place.
Okay. First, I'd like to say everybody's story is different. but in 1972, so go back in your mind, it's been a few years ago. In 1972, I went to Israel with my church at that time, which was in West Virginia. I'm from West Virginia. And this particular trip, we were to land in Zurich, Switzerland for refueling. The other trips had been in Rome or London, but this time it was in Zurich, Switzerland, quite different. So we were told, go inside the airport, just wait because they'll refuel the plane and you'll just get back on. So I was doing that, standing in line with my group, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, near here are the people you will serve. And so I don't know if I'm going to tell you that where we now are serving is 4 minutes from the Zurich airport. And I felt like when God said that to me, he literally meant near. We sit in the church and planes go over all the time.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Robert, tell us, because when you say Switzerland, like if we said, hey, God's calling us to Switzerland, a lot of us say, yeah, I would maybe go there for, because we picture missions in third world context only sometimes as Americans. And so, Robert, share with us a little bit about the need. Why are you there to help people in Switzerland?
Yeah, I've got written down some of the statistics, but I'll just share that actually Switzerland is one of the most beautiful countries in the world on outward appearance. But the people present a much different picture. Because according to the statistics, the Switzerland has got the highest divorce rate in Europe, one of the highest. They've got one of the highest suicide rates. They have one of the highest illegal drug usages. And one out of every four Swiss working adults, because of the stress that is put upon them in their society to produce more and more and more, they have to go see psychiatric care. That's such stress. And only 2.5% of the Swiss population are born again Christians.
Yeah.
So without God, they don't have hope. They don't know where to turn.
Mm-hmm. Share a story about the gentleman you told us about. That was
one of the men in this last class we had. He had experienced this stress from his work and was under psychiatric care. And that's very expensive, by the way. But I won't get into that. And so he started coming to our class, and at the beginning of the class, he was taking drugs, medical drugs and things, and he just wasn't much there as far as participating. But he went through the class, and which is very structured, to take a Christian or anyone through a steps to learn how to gain freedom. So he went through this, and his wife was with him and helping him. And so at the end of the class, because of being in the small group where we have an atmosphere of trust, because whatever is said there stays there, so people are encouraged to open up and speak how the Holy Spirit is helping them or dealing with them. And so through that, plus the scripture he's been reading and the topics every week that changed every week, through this program, he got freedom. And at the last class, he never talked much during the class, but at the last class, when we met the last time, He just started talking and talking and talking and talking, and everybody says, are you the same person?
That's so cool.
What happened to you, you know? And he's got free by God's grace.
Amen. Amen. That's so good, isn't it? So what I'd like for you to do is, if you feel comfortable doing this, if you stretch your hand this way, we're going to pray for them so that they'll have be effective in this next season as they go to Switzerland. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this couple, for their heart to serve you. Lord, that they would leave the comfort of home or the securities that we all love in life and go to a place that's very different from what they've known. And God, they'd give their life to see people experience freedom. And so, God, we pray for effectiveness. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just connect them with the right people so they could lead them through this course and they could experience freedom. And God, we just pray for your protection, your provision in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, both of you. I will tell you this. They'll be out in the lobby. You can stop by, ask them more questions. When I hear about the life change, that's what gets me. And so I know that they can give you story after story of people that have experienced freedom. And here's the deal. That's what it's about, right? We don't just gather so we can sing some nice songs and hear a motivational speech and then go out and try to have a good week. We want to see people's lives changed, transformed, because that's what God is in the business of doing. And I think about, some of you heard me say Avon. I'm so excited about what God is doing there and how we're going to see people's lives transformed. And changed, and it's an incredible opportunity. And what happens is, sometimes we lose sight of the big picture of what's going on. You realize that in the time that we've been here today, you got here at 10:45. Some of you may have been here a little later, but I'm just playing. But anyways, but we've been here about an hour. In that hour, we've been here, over 6,000 people have died, went into eternity in our world. So at the time the day ends today, over 151,000 people will die. And what we know by statistics and numbers is, we know this, that the majority of those people will leave this earth and go to a Christless eternity without God. And that should kind of bother us. But if we're not careful, and I wanted Robert and Nancy to share their story, because it's not easy to leave your home. I mean, they're retired. They're retired and they got refired, right? And they left the comfort of home, the convenience that we all like, because we like it comfortable, don't we? I was in my office this morning early. Oh man, it's kind of sticky and it's hot. And I went over the thermostat and I just turned it up a little bit. And now it's all chill and nice because we like comfort. And the problem is that if we're not careful, we get comfortable and we forget that there is something going on in our world because the clock isn't quitting. You know what I'm saying? It's tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, while people are leaving this world without God. And that should cause us to be alarmed and should move us to action. And the problem is sometimes we live in a Christian culture where it's more likely that we would get upset about a scratch on our new car, or it's more likely we would get upset about bad Wi-Fi service, or more likely that we would get upset about the ref that is calling, that is making bad calls against our team, than we do about people leaving this planet without God. And I hope today that I step on your toes a little bit and I make you say ouch more than I make you say amen. Because we really need, you see, here's what happens is sometimes the church in America, we live in this state of mediocrity and lethargy and complacency, and we don't step into the place that God has for us. Jesus didn't come so that a whole lot of people could leave this earth without knowing him, right? It's kind of like, right now we got these forest fires going on in California, and you see, if you're on social media, you see video or picture after picture, and what happens when a fire is going on, the thing that makes it work, right? I love, somebody asked me today, what do you like to do? I got a weird thing. I like to split wood. I haven't done it in about a year because we don't have a fireplace to worry about right now to burn wood in. So it's a bad thing for me because I like to just the simple taking the maul and the axe and just splitting the thing, just one after another, just that thing, just I don't know. It's weird. You can say it's weird. It's weird. But the thing I like better than that is when I'm sitting in front of the fire and it's cold out and you put the log on there and you get one that's kind of red and it's just like that burning ember and you put the next one on and you don't really have to do much to it because that thing is so hot that the next one you put on there catches on fire too. And that fire will just burn and burn. That's what's happening in California. Why does things keep catching on fire? Because once something gets hot enough, something else catches on fire, right? And another and another. You see, that's the way the church should be. We should be so on fire to see the kingdom of God expand that it becomes contagious. And the person next to you and the person over here, they just catch what you've got. Amen. Right? Yeah. And what can happen is we can get into this pattern of, well, I didn't have time today, or I didn't get to it today, and sometime when I learn some more Bible scriptures, or I get better at telling my story, or I get some better people skills, or I find somebody different than I know now, then maybe I'll be able to share Jesus with them, but we put it off this day, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, and then finally it's a whole week, and then another week and another week, and then it's a month, and then 2 months, and 3 months, and 6 months, and then a year, and then years go by, and we never, and I dare say that there's so many people in the body of Christ that never, ever shared Jesus with anybody. And I want to tell you, Jesus in my life is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. There's nothing else that's even close. There's nothing that even slightly resembles what Jesus has done in my life. And if that's not your story, and if Jesus hasn't done that, we're going to have a moment at the end of this gathering today where you can experience Jesus. But I want to tell you, he's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Yes. And when he's that way in your life, you should want to share that with somebody. We shouldn't need someone to prop us up and create a lot of hype so that we should just want to do it. And what happens is we go through that time of not sharing and not sharing and not sharing till we get to the place that, because here's what happens, indecision with the passing of time becomes decision. And so the decision we make is that I'm more important than the people that are in my life, so therefore I won't share Jesus with them. I was at a conference this week, and one of the speakers was sharing a study that they did where they had graduate students, and they told them, we need you over here. And I can't remember the entire story. It went pretty fast, but they said, we need to make a speech in that hall over there, and I'm going to add this in. It may not have been the way it was, but it was for part of their grade or extra credit or something, okay? And so on the way there, and they had to be there by a certain time, short amount of time you had to get there, and on the way they had positioned an individual that needed help. Visibly, you could tell this person needed help. And what happened was people walked out, and if I asked the question, how many of the people do you think stopped to help them? What percentage? You think maybe half of the people stopped to help them? 25? 10% of the people. Now here's the deal. These were seminary students going to give a lecture on the Good Samaritan. Yeah. So here's what can happen in our world. We can get so preoccupied with busyness of life that we just don't make space to ever share the greatest thing that ever happened in our life. And so Elevation, we've we'll talk more about this during this series, but we made a decision a while back to help people be able to do this, so that we can get into some situations where we can do that. And one of those things we do, every year we've been doing this, it's called Serve Day. In fact, this year it's called Serve 18. And on the Sunday of Labor Day, we're gonna meet here for about 10 minutes. We'll pray, we'll sing a song, and give you a chance to give, maybe do a little rally. Let's go get them, okay? Is that okay to say? Let's go get them. Yeah, there we go. And then we'll leave here. And we're just gonna love people, right? We're just gonna go and just share the love of Jesus. Because how many know we can tell them that Jesus loves them, and we can tell them that Jesus loves them, but it's a whole lot better when we show them, right? Yeah. Somebody tells you that they love you, that's great, but show the love of Jesus. And so it becomes that hands and feet opportunity. So we're working with Homecroft Kindergarten Center. They have some needs. We're going to do a big block party, give away a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I know when you give away stuff, people like that. Give away some. And we're going to. Last year we cleaned up County Line Road. We're going to do some lawn maintenance. We're going to do some things. In fact, if you go on the website, Serve 18, you'll find some of the categories of things we're going to be doing. I just encourage everyone that's here, let's just do this. Let's make a dent. We'll have some shirts next week that you can, we'll give them to you at cost. You can put the shirt on. You don't necessarily have to, but it's kind of cool. When you see a sea, last year it was a sea of red. I'm looking real quickly. There's like three of our, there's one over here. Our Elevation shirts we had last year. So you can wear it after this day, but last year it's kind of cool when you see a sea of red just go invade a place and invade them just to love on them, right? So another thing we do is we create intentional big days. Everybody say big day.
Big day.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Big days are better than small days. Every time. Anybody ever seen the movie War Horse? If you're not, for this line I'm about to tell you, the whole movie's worth this one line, okay? So I'm watching this, and I hear the old guy go up, and they have these horses for sale. And I paraphrase it, and I've kind of made it my own by this point, so it doesn't say it exactly like this. But he looks at the younger guy, and he says, today's a big day. Today's a big day. And here's what happens in life. There's small days, and there's big days. Just about every morning, part of my morning routine is, I say that. I say there's big days and small days, and today's a big day. Because you get more done in a big day than you do a small day. Anybody with me? Yeah. So I think every Sunday's a big day, but we create some that we know are going to be big days. And September 16th is going to be a big day. And we've did this for years. We call it, it's our Friends Day. It's a day we challenge you, we encourage you, we help you to reach out to people in your life and just invite them to be with you. And what happens is, it happens every year, it's like our church doubles on that day. And then some of those people that come on that day, not everybody, some of those people, they either meet Jesus or they rededicate to Jesus or they just like my cool hairstyle or something. You know, that's not the truth. But they come back and they connect. And there's some people in here right now that they came on one of our biggest days and they're still here today because something worked in their life. And I'm starting a series this biggest day called Does God Really Matter? Because to a whole lot of people in our world, they're living life and looking at God as maybe that's irrelevant. Maybe the church doesn't really play a role in my life. And we want to answer that question. So here's how we're going to do this. So if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not, go ahead and write it down too. Here's a strategy. Invest and invite. I'm not going to talk much about the invite today, but I am going to talk about the invest, because investment's huge, right? Making an investment is huge when you make an investment. God has already made an investment in you. He gave his only son. Any investment we do is kind of pales in comparison to what God has done. And we start, here's the way we start with investment is, starting with this, and they're going to pass these out to you. Hope you all take one. It's called The List. Everybody say The List. Yeah, we could come up with some cool, slick name for it, but it's just a list. It's 15 blanks on it. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, and this is a very intentional strategy, that you start looking around your circle, your sphere of influence, and you start writing those names of those people on there. Because here's what I know. God didn't bring people in your life on accident. I'm a firm believer that there's no coincidence in this world. Everything's on purpose. Everything in my life is on purpose. When I meet new people, it's on purpose. When a situation arises, that's why, you know, something happens in your life. I love Zig Ziglar would say this. He would say, because anybody know who Zig Ziglar is? He's like Mr. Positive, right? And he would say this. He would say, I heard him say it several times. He would say this. He said, when you're in the airport and you get a delay, he said, don't grumble and complain and get a bad negative attitude. He says this, realize that this is a part of your day and learn how to adjust to it. And guess what? You may have been missing out on something that's pretty bad because of that delay, right? Something good may have been coming your way. So everything's on purpose. And so I'm giving you something called The List. And here's what I do. And I've got several. This one's for this coming September. I fill it out with names. I'm going to give you an idea of some of the names I have on here. So I've got Aaron. Aaron is, he's a waiter at a breakfast place I eat at about once a week. And I've got Aaron on here because, and Aaron I've known now for 4 or 5 years. I pray for Aaron. And I'll tell you the other ways. We'll use him as an example here in a few moments. Justin, he works at Rural King. I've been in Rural King probably two times in the last 6 months. And I met Justin at the cash register. Second time, I went and found Justin to say hi to Justin. And I said, hey, Justin. He turned around and he said, you remember my name. He didn't know it, but he's on my list. And when you're praying for people, you don't forget their names, right? Yeah. Charlie at Panera. Charlie was at Gulf Shores, Alabama. So I see him in Panera like pretty regularly. He's just a guy that's in there doing stuff on a computer. And then he's at Panera. He's at some place in Gulf Shores. And I see him. I say, hey, Charlie, you. He says, come here a minute. Like we get together. He has his wife, I guess, with him. Take a picture of us. And he said, I want to send this back to the guys. I don't even know the guys for sure. I just know Charlie. Yeah. Now, Charlie and I, we're like best buds. He comes up to me every time he sees me. He's in there every day, I think. He comes up to me. He says, hey, Big Tone. That's what he calls me. Yeah. I got so many nicknames, it's not funny. Gabby's on here. Gabby with just one B. She works at Panera. So I'm in Panera quite a bit, it seems like. And so yeah. I'm in her own purpose, though, right? I'm in there for kingdom expansion. So Gabby, I watched him hire her. Her first day I was there, I got to talk to her a little bit, and she's probably 19, 20, 20. She's out of school, trying to sort through college and all that. And so the other day I walked up, and I can't remember, honestly, and I said, Gabby, I can't remember if I've ever invited her. I said, Gabby, you still haven't come to my church yet. She doesn't know, like, what I do, okay? I never told her that. She just thinks I'm just guy on the back row back there somewhere, you know? I said, you haven't come to my church yet. And then I'm thinking, I don't know if I invited her. And she says, what church is that? So I tell her, and then I gotta go, okay. So then I say, hey, and by the way, in September 16th, we're having, it's a big friends day, and everybody's gonna have a friend there, and I need a friend to be with me on that day. And then, like, in my mind, light bulb goes off, and I said, and my wife is gonna be there. And I said, just because I say this kind of stuff, I said, because I don't want this to be weird. I'm an old guy, you know. And so just so she knows, and I'll be honest, it's good that you do that kind of stuff. Make sure, okay. So Gabby's on there, and Gabby's just in a place. She's kind of navigating through some situations in life, and she really needs to be here, right? I can just go through. I got so many people. Josh, who was in a youth group a long time ago, lives in Franklin. We just got a bunch of people on here. And so here's where it starts. I'm going to tell you how you invest. Number one way you invest is you pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
You pray. You pray. It's the first investment. And we're doing 21 days of prayer right now. And on Tuesday nights, we're meeting here and praying. And I encourage you, as you compile your list, and I hope you've already put one name on there. You should be able to get to 6 pretty easily. If you can't get 6 on there, let me tell you, you need 6 before you leave this life, right? You need somebody to carry you out of here. So work on meeting some people. Sometimes, I don't have any because I got everybody's name. Sometimes it's a guy at the red shirt, lives 3 houses down me. I don't know. Get his name so you can pray for him. But okay, so you make your list out. And then again, Tuesday night, you can bring your list. We can pray over it. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we pray for lost people in weird ways. And sometimes, it kind of boils down to something like this. We'll go, and I prayed this prayer many years ago. You probably have prayed it too at some point. Oh God, save so-and-so, my family member, my friend, because they really need to be saved. It's almost like we don't know if God knows they need to be saved. He already knows it, right? He knows, he knows. And then we go into this thing sometimes where we pray and God, they're doing this sin and they need to be saved really good because it's really bad what they're doing. And so you need to really save them and we're kind of painting the picture of kind of getting the cart before the horse, right? We need them to experience Jesus, and then he can take care of all that stuff, right? And so I'm going to give you ways how to pray. So 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, that the God of this world The enemy of their soul has blinded them, those that don't believe, so that they wouldn't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that would not shine on them. And so for all of us, the first way we pray is this. We pray for freedom to come to them and for their eyes to be opened. Right? They're blind. And sometimes we get upset with people. Maybe it's a family member, and they keep in this cycle they're in. They don't break it, and you get upset with them. It's really not them. It's the enemy that's working in them. And what happens is, when you start praying for someone, you start seeing them. They start seeing things differently. You start seeing this in their life. I love the story of D.L. Moody when he's like 10 o'clock at night. He's in his bed, and he remembers, I didn't share Jesus with anyone. And he runs out the door, and he finds a guy standing by a lamppost. And he starts just sharing Jesus with him. And the man just gets violent and upset. And D.L. Moody goes back to bed or whatever. And so then this guy goes to the elders of the church where D.L. Moody's at and says, hey, this guy's doing more damage than 10 other men to our city. You need to like try to quieten him down a little bit. And time passes, 3 months pass, and that man, again, eyes opening, he goes back to D.L. Moody and apologizes, and he receives Jesus as Savior and Lord, and he becomes an influential server in the church where D.L. Moody was at. You see, when we start praying, God, open their eyes, help them to see with clarity the love that you have for them, what you provided for them, things start changing. Matthew 9, I'll give you the next prayer step, Matthew 9, 37, 38. Jesus sees the great crowd, the great multitude, and he says to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. Pray for someone to cross their path that will share Jesus with them. And here's what God will do. Too many times I've watched this. He'll send someone halfway across the world to go across their path to share Jesus with them. Right? You plant the seed, you start making the investment, and somebody else got to use them to water. I mean, it's incredible the way God will work. Because check it out, his heart is already for that person. He's already made much more of an investment than you could ever make into them knowing him. And then lastly, one of the three ways that I pray is, pray this, that the word of God gets in their heart. That the word of God gets in their heart. Because Romans 10, 17 says this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That when the word is planted in their life, it's going to not return void. And so it's not just praying, God save them, God save them, God save them, make them quit sinning, make them come to the altar and repent. God already knows all that. He's the one that will orchestrate that if that's what happens. What we need to do is pray that their eyes are open. We need to be praying that God would send someone across their path. We need to be praying intentionally, praying that the word of God would get into their heart. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. I'm going to give you three more ways to invest in their lives. Above all, Peter writes and says this, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality, be hospitable to one another without complaining and grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, which God provides, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So here's how you invest in the people on your list right now. Love them. Love them. They don't need to be guilted or shamed in anything. The fact is, they probably already feel that about their life. I don't think anybody in this world struggles with having enough guilt or shame. And by the way, that's not the product of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will bring conviction, much different than guilt and shame. He will convict us. He'll cause us to realize, hey, that's not right in my life. He'll draw them. And so what we need to do is we need to show love. We need to love them as though they're already crossed over the line and one of and know Jesus, right? We need to love them as God loves them. God loves them unconditionally. And check this out. God doesn't love them, and I'm speaking to maybe some people here. God doesn't love you any less, nor is there anything you do to make him love you anymore. He loves you with such a great love right now. And so we need to love people because people matter to God and show love. In fact, that concept of love covering a multitude of sins is not just here. You'll find it other places in Scripture because love does that. Love draws people in. Love draws people in. Thirdly, where you invest is by giving. Give. Now, I don't know on this list. I'll use Aaron as an example. On Mondays, when I see Aaron, I don't always have him as a waiter, but usually on Monday, he'll wait on me. And I got to know Aaron's story. In fact, Aaron and I have a lot of people that we know that are in common. And don't be surprised if God doesn't do that with people in your life, okay? Again, it's not coincidental. The people that are in your life right now, it's not because of coincidence. It's on purpose. So Aaron and I have shared friends. Aaron has suffered hurt and been wounded by the church. It doesn't take very long, if you're talking about spiritual things, to figure that out. And by the way, if you want to read something that'll help you on having conversations with people, read John chapter 4. Jesus starts out talking about something very natural, water. Okay, most of you don't have a John the Baptist anointing. You're not Old Testament prophet where you can step into somebody's world and say, repent, and they do it, right? Yeah, they probably will run away from you if you yell that at them, okay? So when you love people and then you give, and so with Aaron, one of the things that with him that I attempt to do is I try to give him an extravagant gift when I tip him. I don't know, it seems like it for me. I hope it is for him. And then another thing that and Kim, we're usually together, is that we give space for conversation. Sometimes when it's not crowded, he will stand and talk for about 5 minutes. I can't walk in there if I have another server that he didn't come over and say hi every time. Now, I don't know what Aaron's going to do. I can't predict it. I don't have some prophetic insight on what's going to happen. I hope that Aaron, it may never be here, but I hope that my prayer, my investment is praying, loving, giving. My hope is that he comes, whatever that is in his experience, but he gets his life right with Jesus and he plugs into a local body of believers. It'd be great if it's here. Here's me. I think it should be here, but he, God knows better, right? So, and then that relationship, so he may never choose that. That relationship that I have with Aaron isn't based on whether or not he makes the decision that I think he should make. Because if you have strings attached to your relationships, it's very visible to people, and they know that. So you got to have no strings attached. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to give. I'm going to make an investment, whether or not you ever say yes to this or not. That's real, and that's what people are hungry for. So in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, each of you should use whatever gift that you've received to serve one another. And definitely that means in the body of Christ, but I want to tell you that when you start serving people, when you do that, you become the Jesus that they see. And so you give, and then lastly, you serve. And giving may be this. For me, sometimes it's time with people. Sometimes it's ability maybe to bless them in some kind of small way. Your giving could be that you take some time and write a card to somebody. Junior boys class at Charity Tabernacle, the church I grew up in, the basement of that church, it was the block walls, you know? Remember the old buildings had the block walls? And then there was paneling dividers inside. And it always had that musty smell for some reason. I don't know why. Church basements do that. And they had the flannel graph. And junior boys, I think it was like 9, 10, 11, or 10, 11, 12. I don't know. But Myrtle Couch. In my background, we called people brother and sister. So Sister Myrtle Couch was our teacher. And she had the bun on her head. And she seemed like she's 95. And she's probably my age, you know. I may seem 95 to you. I don't know. And And she'd come in and you know, you get 10 or 12 boys that age, even under best behavior, stuff happens, you know. Sometimes I felt sorry for her because I'd see the things she'd deal with, you know. It wasn't too long ago that she left this life, but when I was able to provide just a note of thank you to her, just, I don't know, it's probably been a year ago, there was a guy that ran a youth camp, and we saw him in Carino's one Sunday afternoon. I went up to him, I said, his name was Denny, and I said, Denny, I just want to thank you for all the investment you made in my life running that youth camp and stuff, and I want to tell you, it seems like Denny is my best friend now. Seems like he's my best friend now. So here's the deal. Here's what we need to understand is you give and you serve. And how do you serve? Peter says this, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, without complaining. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 said that the world should look at us as servants of Christ. That should be the picture that they get of us. And so serving means I'm gonna go over and above, and I'm gonna do something for somebody. So the people on this list, I'm gonna do something to serve them. And I don't know your context. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe you got 5 family members on there. And you just need to do something. Go out of your way and do something. Because when you make the investment, see, the reason that relationships don't grow and flourish, and the reason people don't want to walk in our faith is because we just don't take time to make the investment. My challenge for you over the next month is to prepare that list, do it quickly. Some of you got a bunch of names, some of you maybe got one, maybe you haven't. I encourage you to put one on there. Try to finish it out today. And you know what? You may have to meet a few people this week. In fact, my prayer for you this week is going to be this, that God would open your eyes to see the people in your life, because what we can do is we can kind of bumble through life and not realize, okay, that person's in my life and I didn't realize it. I see him regularly. In fact, go to some of the same places so you can see some of the same people, right? Intentional strategy. So what I will do is at some point, every one of these 15 people, I will invite to be here on Friends Day. Numbers work this way. This isn't real spiritual, just the way this is practical. If you reach out to 10 people, one of them's going to say yes without hardly any effort at all. And maybe that one that says yes, they're in desperate need of turnaround in their life. And just a simple praying, loving, giving, serving, and reaching out made the difference for them. And that's my challenge to you this morning, is to work on your list this week. Be aware of the people in your life so you can make a difference. I want to ask the team to come and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you personally about where you're at in your life. Because I realize that this morning, you may have been coming here for weeks or months, or maybe it's your first time and that relationship with Jesus is just not there. Or maybe you just feel like, I'm just not where I need to be with Jesus. And I know this, it's no accident. It's on purpose, by divine purpose, that you're here. And for some of you, maybe it's that thing that you need. You need Jesus, that relationship, right? Or maybe that list. Maybe there's some people on there that are desperate. And you know they're desperate. Maybe some people on there that you've been concerned about for a long time, and we're going to give you an opportunity to pray. So if you just maybe lay your things aside and stand with me.